You're listening to the Cycling Podcast in association with Rafa, celebrating the sport and producing the finest cycling clothing since 2004.
Hello, I'm Lionel Burney, and on behalf of Richard Moore and Daniel Freeb, I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from everyone here at the Cycling Podcast. This is our final episode of a very busy 2016, and we hope you enjoy it. It's a look back at some of the highlights and memorable moments, but it's not a conventional review of the year. Richard, Daniel and I will be back on January the 11th with another new episode, but in the meantime, let's remember 2016. Oh, and do please listen on at the end of this episode, because we've got a short message about the Friends of the Podcast programme and why it's vital to the future of the Cycling Podcast, as well as a thank you for everyone who's helped us on the way this year.
We are in Mallorca at the Team Sky training camp. Have you been at any other training camps as well?
No, for the moment not. This is the first one. But I have to ask, dear Richard. Okay, we are in Mallorca, as you said, and we are working. That the two lazy guys of Lionel and Daniel, what are they doing now? We are working.
The sounds of Via Roma almost exactly 24 hours before the 107th edition of Milan-San Remo will finish here.
Where are we, Daniel?
We are in the middle of the Velodrome, the outdoor Velodrome in Roubaix.
Yeah, Otley and Monaco are very different. Both have got their strong points. Monaco's strong point would be the weather and the food. Year-round sunshine has made a huge difference to my career, to be honest. I understand where this curse of the curse of the rainbow jersey has come from. And it's not about some ridiculous curse, it's just the fact that you do have this pressure and you have a busy winter and all those things add up, so I'm hoping that I've managed that well and I'll just approach the races like I did last year the same way.
The next few weeks and months are really unclear for you.
It's just 1 year, isn't it? You know what I mean? I can afford. Kittle's just had a year out, so I'll have a year out, like, you know, it's all right, isn't it? I'll just have a steady year. I haven't done it for 10 years, you know. It seems to be the new cool thing to be second. Like, look at Sagan. Like, I just, I learned to do some wheelies and I get a €4 million contract now.
Definitely relief. I made no secret of what I wanted to achieve out there, and obviously anything else would have been hugely disappointing. So, what's it been, 14 months since the hour record? And that was really the moment where I said after that, okay, it's all for the team pursuit now. And it's just, for me anyway, obviously everyone's different, the emotions, sort of Owen Dahl was just overjoyed in that, but for me it was definitely a sense of relief.
I'm not in this to cheat. We're not in it to cheat. We're in it to try and create a team which is absolutely clean. We do it the right way. And at the time, I think there's quite, you know, there is the point where you'll push up to what is right and legal and allowed. And, you know, for me, you could argue that the line is something where there's something that could be medically prescribed without medically being required. And there's your line. And I think if you're taking medication when you haven't got a need and you're doing it purely for performance enhancement reasons, that's not the line. That's beyond the line, in my opinion. There has to be the appropriate medical use and the appropriate approach by the medical team and medical staff, and I've got absolute confidence in their how they operate, in their practice, and you know, I've got confidence in the team. Let's face facts. You know, this last week I haven't been. I don't think I've handled the situation as well as I could have done, and probably made it a damn sight worse than it needed to be, quite frankly.
I agree with Pippo is the pedaler de charme for excellence. I mean, maybe the best one. And I know, Daniel, that he told you that I'm obsessed by him. It's true, listeners. It's true, yes. Because, as I already had the occasion to tell only for you, only on our marvelous podcast, is that Filippo is my soul sister. So how could be obsessed by him? Yes, I am. It's not shame for me.
Hello, Ciro.
Hello, listeners. It's always a pleasure as usual. And yes, my love for Filippo is something that is not about victories or other things. It's just love. It's something that you can understand, dear Daniel or dear Richard. So, dear listener, we are here in the bus with Filippo Bozzato. He tried to win today. He was not able to win, but for me it's the same. My love for you, for him, is the same, even bigger.
Thank you very much.
We better leave before there are kisses exchanged.
Grazie, Filippo.
Ciao. Oh.
Wait. So I thought the Dolomites was a range of mountains. Then I thought it was a type of rock. Now I find out it wasn't even in Italy originally.
Well, you really struggle, and you're not alone in this, in actually locating or nailing down where the Dolomites are, don't you?
Well, I do. I thought I knew. I mean, I've been joking to Richard all through the first 2 weeks of the Giro, is every small hill we've seen, is that a Dolomite? Is that a Dolomite? Daniel will enlighten us when he returns.
BMC Racing's Manuel Quinziato. Manuel, I'm going to give you a short quiz. I'm going to give you the names of five climbs, and you have to tell me whether they're in the Dolomites or not, because a lot of people get this wrong, and I expect full marks from you. Okay, so the first one, Lo Stelvio.
No.
Gavia.
No, I hope.
Alpe di Pampeago.
Yeah, Pampeago, yes.
Zoncolan.
No.
Mortirolo.
No.
Look, let's go to Matt White.
Look, the only, but look, for us, look, he's going to have, yeah, look, it was, look, look, at a stage like that, look, the Valverde group came within 10 seconds, and look, but look, I know what other teams' plans are as well. Look, I'd be concerned if he wasn't tired. And look, we've gained time.
Look, and also, look, we didn't talk about it during the week. Look, we're definitely going to the Vuelta this year, and look, I would like him to go to the Tour de France next year. But look, it's part of a long-term plan we've had for Esteban.
What do we want to start with, Daniel? What's the start? Well, you're holding up Wolfie. You're holding up Lupo.
I bought Lupo, a cuddly Wolfie. I couldn't resist for my nephew, George. We talked a lot about Wolfie, the mascot of the Giro d'Italia. Wasn't allowed into France. The French are very strict on cuddly wolves. So, yeah, I thought I would honour what has been a talking point over the last week by buying a cuddly Wolfie for my cousin. My nephew, George.
Was it competitively priced, or was it priced like
Euros,
items at
reasonable,
the Tour de
very reasonable.
For official merchandise,
and
that's
of course,
not bad at all.
Vincenzo Nibali was awarded his final Wolfie, but he did make a bit of a revelation that he has indeed been slightly ill during this Giro. He suffered from gastroenteritis. Is that how you pronounce it? Gastro?
You're asking me for
stomach problems. He's had stomach problems.
Vittoria. Victory.
Whoever you are, wherever you ride, whatever the reason, Rafa exists to improve your ride with the finest kit, inspiring stories, and vibrant clubhouses and communities all over the world.
And I did say last night Daniel would be joining us on the rest of the podcast. He will be virtually and in reality. We haven't seen him yet. Is he here?
I'm sure he is here. I mean, normally you'd expect to see the hair silhouetted against the sunshine.
Television's Daniel. Yeah. He's busy doing his telework, but we'll be catch up with him properly tomorrow. But in the meantime, he has sent us the what we're going to call the Free Boss File. Here is the first Free Boss File.
Hello, chaps. Hope you're enjoying yourselves without me. I'm very happy that Cavendish has won for personal, selfish, probably slightly unprofessional reasons. He, I'm sure, is absolutely delighted tonight.
extraordinary stuff. Already he's disappointed that there's not a theme tune for the Freebox file.
He's asking for a jingle, isn't he?
So we'll have to, we'll have to work on that.
Speaking of Daniel Freeb, let's hear the installment two of the Freebox file. Over to you, Daniel.
Bonsoir, chaps. I still haven't really seen you, have I? My long-lost podcasting companion. That is a bit of a lie. I did spot Lionel today about 50 metres away. He was busy interviewing Charlie Wigelius, the Cannondale director sportif. He'd adopted the kind of posture that he usually adopts when he's within ordering distance of his next local speciality, so it's best not to disturb him at those moments. No doubt we'll catch up probably tomorrow morning. I also saw the Buffalo Richard Moore charging around somewhere around the finish this evening. Again, too far away, unfortunately, for me to stop, but again, I'll catch up with Rich later. I'll give him a call just in case he's feeling lonely, neglected.
What's that very evocative theme tune that I'm hearing?
Afternoon, chaps. Good to be back for our regular rendezvous. Glad you sorted the music out. Glad you caved to my outrageous demand for that. Makes me think that I can make a few more outrageous demands and you might cave to those as well. So I'll have a good think about that.
Why would have Kreuziger done such a hard work in the last steep part of the climb just for third place? I can't believe that. I don't think you waste Kreuziger's force and
especially when Contador's slipping out the back at the same time.
Exactly. So to me, this is bullshit. But I mean, this is bullshit. This the second way. We like the way he bullshits us, and he did it again. He probably bullshitted his rivals.
Sorry,
as well.
Sorry about the swearing, iTunes.
I don't, are you okay? I'm French, so it's
sophisticated.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm saying. But no, it's maybe because we're on a horse racing track, and it smells a little bit of the word.
Hello, my name's Richard Moore. I'm with Lionel Burney.
Hello, Richard.
And do we need the theme tune? Because it's here in person.
Yes, yes.
Okay, play it. Daniel Freeb.
Hello, guys.
Daniel, how are you?
It's like I've never been away. I'm all right. How are you, chaps?
Looking well. Looking tanned.
Really? I've been in Mallorca for 3 weeks, haven't I? Before the Tour de France. That was my preparation.
Okay, listen, at the finish, I spoke to Adam Yates of Orica Bike Exchange. Orica Bike Exchange.
Yeah, I've only just stopped calling Cannondale Garmin, so, give me another 6 months on that.
Oh, Daniel, you have to rush off. See you, Daniel.
Where are my clothes? I want my clothes.
You'll deliver your clothes, don't worry. We've got a Rafa consignment for Daniel.
And my contact lenses.
Yeah, we've got them in the car, don't worry, yeah. Okay. Anyway, I spoke to Adam Yates. Hello, my name's Richard Moore. I'm with Lionel Burney.
Hello, Richard.
And our old amigo, Daniel Freeb.
Hello, chaps. Lionel, where are we? And Richard, where are my contact lenses?
They're in the boot of the car. The boot of our slightly scratched car.
Is this week two or three? I've forgotten.
Week two.
Mm-hmm. And I still haven't got them. Anyway.
Look who it is, Lionel. We've been joined by occasional friend of the podcast. We've been joined by our good friend and colleague, Daniel Freeb. Hello, Daniel.
Erstwhile friend. Once friend of the podcast. No longer friend. Hi.
Not a paid up friend, that's for sure.
Actually, feeling more kindly disposed towards you guys today because you got my contact lenses and my clothes.
Finally, no more mention of contact lenses or clothes. It's only a matter of time till you lose them, of course. Daniel, we've just watched Mark Cavendish win his fourth stage of this year's Tour, 30th in total. He really had kids in his pocket. Here's our special guest tonight. It is... much popular demand. He was a regular at the Giro d'Italia. He's been a regular on the podcast for several years. What a build-up this is. It's, of course, Ciro Scogni Emilio.
Ciao, listeners. Thanks, God, to be here. And I heard a key word from Lionel some few seconds ago, Switzerland. Yes, we are going to Switzerland, listeners. And I would like to say one thing about Switzerland. Is it possible? Listeners, Switzerland is marvelous. I mean... nice people, beautiful landscapes, good chocolate, good cheese, but...
Nice tax arrangements.
But, oh, I mean, I'm not interested in this, but certainly yes. But it's really a big problem. This country, listeners, you know, it's a country without any direct access to the sea.
But loads of lovely lakes, though, Ciro. Some of them have beaches. Do they not count?
I mean, Lionel, good question, but I have a clear answer also for this. I don't like really much lakes. Okay. Yes, I can understand. People say, okay, lakes are beautiful. But for me, Lionel, lakes are not more than big swimming pool. Yes, this is my idea, listeners. Excellent. I don't want to say that it's correct, okay. But it's my idea.
Did you watch any cycling today, Ciro? Let's hear from Mrs. Peter Sagan, Katharina Sagan, who was at the start.
You came out with a great quote about Peter. You said he's very simple in a complex way, I think was the quote. What did you mean by that?
As many people know, he's simple in a way, like he takes things easy, but at the same time, he's very deep in thinking, so... It's not always as it seems, because he has a big personality
inside.
There's
more to him than we realize.
No, absolutely. But he only showed to those who he wants to.
People were quite taken, I think, with your no-nonsense analysis of things, in particular, a particular catchphrase, which sounds much better from an urbane Frenchman than from a...
You mean this is bullshit? Yeah.
That's the one.
I have to say, it's very appropriate we have Francois back on now that the race has returned to France. And Francois's catchphrase was running through my mind almost constantly on a loop while we were in Andorra. I didn't take to the place at all.
Richie, what happened? What happened there?
The motorway just stopped right in front of us.
Was that a fan as well?
I don't know. What the hell happens now?
Because of?
The motorway crashed us.
Oh shit, no, we didn't know that.
This can't be right, huh?
No.
Well, that was Richie Port, just after he crossed the finish line at Mont Ventoux today, meeting his press officer, who didn't know what had happened in the closing stages of today's stage in the Tour de France. A motorbike stopped in front of that group of three, and Richie Port slammed into it. Chris Froome hit Richie Port, and then was hit himself by a motorbike, and his bike was broken. Then the camera went to Chris Froome running up the mountain, and I don't think I'll ever forget that surreal sight. It was completely... And there's been a lot of bizarre things happen at the Tour over the years. This was the most bizarre thing I have ever seen.
The crowd was just all on the road and the motorway just stopped right in front of us. We had nowhere to go. The next minute, straight over the top of the motorbike, it was just a mess. Like, I mean, he's on my wheel, like, straight into me. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, but they need to do something about it because it's not fair, you know. 1 minute, we're 23 seconds in front, and the next thing... You know, for something so silly, you know, everybody's back on us. I mean, that can't stand. It can't happen like that. I mean, surely the jury has to look at it and use some sort of discretion because, I mean, you can't control the crowds. What can you control, you know?
I didn't see it, obviously. I've just seen something on the TV for, like, 10 seconds when I got on the bus. But, you know, not ideal. Obviously, what happened today... It's unprecedented, really.
What's your reaction when you see this picture?
Well, he's from Kenya, so he should be good at that.
And we're going to do something that we did last year, which was to stroll around the buses and give each team some kind of ranking, a wine glass ranking? Do you like your glass ranking?
That's trademarked by my Twitter feed.
Okay, marks out of five for each team. Okay.
Why don't we give them a number of bidons for out of five for how well they've done?
If you're really gonna have to leave us, Daniel, then we'll let you do Team Sky.
Oh, they did okay, didn't they? I think 3.5.
3.5 for Team Sky. Bye, Daniel.
Eurosport, the home of cycling.
Rich, I've never been this nervous for something that really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. This 5 months has been leading up to this. Been working it for 5 months.
Does anyone know how to get there?
Yeah, just
go out of the car park first.
You know, I've done the training. I've been training now for 4 months. You know, what are your tips for me? How should I approach this? 4Ks. It's a long way.
Well, Richard, it's a kilo longer than the 3K that you did back in the day at the East of Scotland Cycling Championships. I remember seeing your photograph in this SCU handbook.
Nice and easy.
I can hear him breathing.
That's a good sign.
I can hear him wheezing. But let's not speak too soon, eh?
Oh, I'm ready to chunder, I think.
Okay, I'm going to take a step back there.
God, that's really, really hard. You just don't know what you're doing. It's just after 8 o'clock in the morning in Bédouin. We're outside our hotel, the Hotel des Pins. And Mont Ventoux was up before us this morning, as it is every morning. Going from bottom to top today, it's definitely not something that I'm taking lightly. So let's hope for the best. So wish me luck. Can't hear much apart from the sound of my heavy breathing. A few birds chirping. Squeak of rubber tyres on the road, the occasional car coming past. Not as busy as I've been led to expect. It's been okay so far, although the smell of burning clutch does hang in the air a bit. Well done, Simon. We made it.
Well done. Excellent. Oh. A long way up, isn't it? I feel like Tim Peak.
Well, let's hope we don't burn up on re-entry.
Hello, my name's Richard Moore. I'm with Orla Shinawee.
Good afternoon, Richard.
Hello, Orla.
Hi.
This is a historic first ever cycling podcast femina.
It is indeed. We feel the weight of history on our shoulders.
Weeks in the planning.
Months, shall
Months
we say.
Months in the planning. Years, even.
Let's not go that far.
But we're all set to go, Orla. We've had a few of your energy balls, Orla's famous energy balls here.
Yes,
at Shinawee. Towers.
Shinawee Towers. They fuel me on a daily basis. They sound a bit suspect. They're not really, but they are amazing. I've had six today. You sampled one. What did you think?
Very nice. Delicious. Very datey.
Very datey, yes.
There's some seeds in there as well.
Yeah. All good. All good stuff.
Are available on the market?
No, but I could maybe bring them to races if you'd like to purchase one or two from me at a discounted rate, of course. They're homemade. I make them.
I can see that. Day one. We'll also be going out to the Vuelta soon. We're having a sort of gentle start to this third Grand Tour of the year, aren't we?
We are indeed. It wasn't originally on our race programme for 2016, was it? But we've shoehorned it in to do an Adam Hansen or Alejandro Valverde and complete set.
Hello, I'm Lionel Burney. This is the Telegraph Cycling Podcast talking about the Vuelta España. I'm with Daniel Freeb. Evening, Daniel.
Good evening, Lionel.
Whereabouts are you?
I am perched on top of a castle, almost literally perched on top of a castle, Lionel. Can you believe it? The landscapes have been absolutely sublime. And in fact, the view from the Castillo de Machedes is truly spectacular. But yeah, I think we finally leave tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, Galicia.
Well, you were supposed to be joined this evening by Richard Moore, but Richard had a bit of trouble with his flight. I think it was delayed a bit today, and that put him behind, and then he was chasing to catch up. He's not made it, so we've had to draft you in at very short notice, so really appreciate
don't
that.
It,
so we'll
don't make it sound like I'm a second choice, Lionel.
Third,
like
I thought.
Like a backup option.
No.
Anyway, go on.
Well, you weren't the plan. This wasn't all sorted out. You know, this wasn't planned on the Google Sheet, the Dropbox, was it? We're having to busk it. We're having to make it up on the hoof.
Hello, my name is Richard Moore. I'm with Daniel Freeb.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Daniel.
An exasperated Daniel Freeb.
Well, 5 or 10 minutes ago, we were very relaxed, weren't we?
Yeah.
We were sitting out on the terrace overlooking a beach.
And Asturian
a
beach.
Restaurant.
And
shall
now
we name and shame the restaurant?
Frito Mar, that well-known Irish eatery.
By the sea, beautiful seafood restaurant. And we were sitting on the terrace there and we ordered fish and we're told you can't eat fish outside.
It's like the Da Vinci Code, isn't it? Actually trying to, well, getting them to bring what we actually ordered. Anyway,
it's been an ordeal.
It's been a long day on the Vuelta today. I listened to the podcast when Richard was here and it sounded like a holiday, frankly. Short days and late mornings and hours spent on the beach enjoying himself. It's been a bit of a trial for me so far. I found it logistically challenging. It's frankly bloody typical, isn't it?
It's become logistically challenging to coincide with your arrival. It wasn't previously.
this is not the sort of weather I like working in, certainly.
No, there was about 35, 36 degrees, certainly when we set out this morning from Alcañiz. It's a very hot part of Spain, isn't it? Long way inland. There was a bit of a breeze, though. And
it was a hot breeze, though, wasn't it? It was like being in a hairdryer.
It was, and we went through some... That reminds me, actually, the hairdryer. Did I tell you about overhearing the Caio Rural team talk the other day? Well, they missed a break 2 days in a row in their home region, and... I found myself in a position, not deliberately, but I did find myself at the bottom of the Caio Rural steps, the bus steps, on Saturday morning. And I forget the name of their main director sportive, he's a Basque. And I heard him really giving them the Alex Ferguson treatment, the hairdryer, telling them in no uncertain terms that they had 2 days, really, the weekend to sort of restore some dignity and save their Vuelta.
Was he not annoyed that they were all looking at their phones at some point as well?
Yeah, there was something to that effect,
yeah. Well, it's the modern world now, isn't it? Everybody's looking at their phone, probably trying to download the cycling podcast, I'll be bound. There was only one significant break to talk of, and that involved Loic Chetou of Cofidis, who was joined by Peter Kennock of Sky.
Friend of the podcast.
Yes, let's not dwell on that too long, eh, Rich? Thank you very much for listening to us this year. We hope you've enjoyed our shows as much as we've enjoyed making them. We would particularly like to thank everyone who has signed up as a friend of the podcast, and we hope that you'll do so again in 2017. And if you've hesitated, let me just explain why it's so important to us. Of course, we're very grateful to our sponsors for their support. We couldn't have produced almost 150 free episodes this year without their help either, but there's never been a single funding solution in the media, and that's even more true today. So we rely on support from sponsors and our listeners to keep going. Without so many of you signing up as friends of the podcast, we would not have been able to commit to daily coverage of the Giro d'Italia or the Vuelta a España, or even add the cycling podcast Feminine as we did in 2016. We didn't just want to ask for money though, we wanted to offer something in return, and so for £10, our friends of the podcast were able to listen to 11 special episodes plus a bonus one. We've frozen prices this year and plan to produce another 11 shows exclusively for friends of the podcast. But in response to a number of emails from listeners asking if they can pay a little more, I know that sounds hard to believe, but we have had a number of emails from people who would like to pay a bit more, we've decided to give everybody that option. It's completely optional, Don't feel any pressure to do so if you don't want to, but if you feel like the episodes you get from the Friends of the Podcast and also the regular episodes is worth more to you, then feel free to pay a little more, and we would be incredibly grateful to anyone who would like to do that. You can sign up today at thecyclingpodcast.com/friends. This year we covered a range of subjects. Richard Moore was in the laboratory when Chris Froome underwent his physiological testing. We examined the rise and demise of the great HTC High Road team. I visited Belgium to explain my love of the cobbles, and I slogged to the top of Mont Ventoux. Cannondale rider Joe Dombrowski made an audio diary at the Giro d'Italia. There was Chiro's unforgettable performance in front of a live audience at the Foyles bookshop in London. We studied the careers of Alberto Contador and Bradley Wiggins, and we tried to look into the future too, to see what professional cycling might look like in 2020 vision. We've got more great episodes planned for 2017, and we hope you'll sign up to help keep the Cycling Podcast wheels turning. It's still only a tenner. Finally, on behalf of Richard and Daniel, I'd like to thank all the people who have helped us this year. It's a long list, but we are so grateful to everyone for the part they've played. So, in no particular order, I'd like to thank our regular contributors who have added so much depth and life to our coverage. That's Francois Tomaso, Ciro Scognamiglio, Seb Piquet, Orla Chenoui, Andy Hood, Kaylee Fretz, Ned Bolting, Rob Hatch, Dan Hackenberg, Sophie Smith, Daniel Lloyd, Felix Mattis, Fran Reyes, and Joe Dombrowski. I'd like to thank our producers, Tom Wally, Paul Scoins, John Mooney, Alex Adey, Tom Glasser, Adam Bowie, Matt Field, Mariana DeForge, Will Jones, and of course Jonathan Rowe, who does so much more than just producing the episodes. He maintains the Friends of the Podcast scheme and keeps the wheels spinning for us. Then there's our sponsors, Rafa, Eurosport, Niederberg Wines, Science in Sport, Trainer Road, Sigma Sport, and Wellbricks. And we'd like to thank our media partner, The Telegraph, and particularly John McCleary and Tom Carey. Maserati supplied us with a car for the Giro d'Italia. Wayland Austin at Leos Bikes gave Richard and I some wheels to get around on when we were at the Tour de France, and we enjoyed riding his folding carbon fibre bikes. Must mention Simon Gill, our photographer, who's responsible for so much of our imagery on social media, and Greg Trauman and Rafa for their help with our artwork. Nick Christian is in charge of our weekly newsletter, which goes out to anyone who's signed up, so thank you to him, and also to Paul Shafto and Nigel Brown for assisting us with our sponsorship. And we couldn't go without mentioning David Luxton of David Luxton Associates either. And then there's the people who supplied the music throughout the year. Amara Terra, whose unforgettable music at the Giro d'Italia brought those episodes to life. 13 Senses and Glass Pear and Santare provided the music through the rest of the year in the Tour de France. And Massy Mass, they were the people who did our music for the Vuelta. So thank you very much to everyone, but particularly to our listeners. We hope you've had a fantastic 2016 and all the best for 2017.
You've been listening to the Telegraph Cycling Podcast. Thank you to Glass Pear for the music in this episode. For more information and to download more editions of the show, visit thecyclingpodcast.com.
Ciro, before we go in there and do some interviews, you had some news on Pippo Pozzato.
I mean, as usual, Filippo Pozzato is capable to remain in the headlines also if he doesn't win the races. I mean, we have to accept that this Pippo Pozzato is a kind of star. And in Italy, yes, as you said, he appears in the news because a guy from Sicily, a 25-year-old guy, created a false identity on the web in order to chat to nice girls, and he called himself Filippo Pozzato.
Somebody has stolen Filippo Pozzato's... This is in the Italian news today. They've stolen his identity in order to meet women.
Exactly, exactly. I don't know if someone in the future will steal his identity also to become a cyclist.
I doubt that.
Maybe not, dear Richard.